flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Yes, that line forms on the right, baby. Not that Maggie's. But back in town. Look out, old Maggie is
yeah,
back.
Look out.
Chris McMahon.
Oh, look out.
Sports Radio.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 203 on the fan! McMonagle here with you. I've got you for 3 hours as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Music up, music down. We're going to have a good time over the next 3 hours taking your phone calls. Let's talk a little Jets, why don't we? Because guess what? They won the press conference! Woo! Let's go! I'm ready to run through a wall. That's right. Man, he even talked about the 1998 AFC Championship game. Let's go! Woo! Listen, Aaron Glenn did win the press conference. There's no doubt about it. He had a... But when you hear him speak, it's... He is football coach. There is no doubt about it. He is football coach. And he did a tremendous job, even in the media scrum after the one-on-one on SNY. He answered every question the way you'd want him to answer the question. He showed passion. He showed, like, to me, the number one thing. If you're really going to get jazzed up as a Jet fan, and I expect you to. I know I had a little fun there in the open. I'm having a little fun. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. If you really are going to get all excited as a Jet fan, and you should. You should be excited. You should be excited. Because I do believe a lot of things can be fixed with a really good head coach. I still feel that way about this team. I was high on them last year. I still think a lot can be fixed by just a good head coach. And I think they got one. And I think the press conference went really well. And I think he did a lot of the stuff you want to hear from me, number one, before we get into some of the different things he said and how I feel that can answer some other questions and how the Jets should move. Just first and foremost, if I were a Jet fan, like, he wanted the job. He wanted this job, and I totally believe him. Listen, would he have taken the Saints job if they went somewhere else? Sure. But he wanted this job. I totally believe him. He wants this opportunity. He does want to, you know, bring winning back to this franchise that he loves and that he played for and that it established his relationship with Parcells and all that, but... Like, I totally respect how much he wants the job. And I respect, you know, the idea of, I could have done without the car analogy, the seatbelt. And after all, gas, no brakes, maybe just stay away from anything car related. No need for seatbelt lines or anything like that. But we're the New York Jets and we're built for this blank. That's a line that you're going to either look back on and laugh and say, yeah, we're the New York Jets. What exactly are we built for? We're built for losing. We've lost more than, we haven't made the playoffs in how many years? What are we built for exactly? It sounds very much like Rex Ryan, play like a Jet. And that's why I'm not even trying to knock him, because I think he did a great job. And we're going to find out. These press conferences are so overrated. It's ridiculous. It means, I'm sorry, Jet fans, I'm not trying to poo-poo it. And it has nothing to do with him. All you could do is either be good at this or be bad at this, right? And he was good at this today. And I do think for some organizations, it's more important than others. And I think for the Jets, it was important to instill confidence and do some of the things. He went through the checklist. He wants the job. Right? First and foremost, he wants the job. He harkens back to times when he was here with the team and he was successful. And he talks about accountability. And he talks about, you know, building the roster. And he talks about culture building. And he hit a bunch of different topics. He gives you the hard, passionate stuff. He gives you, this is the Jets. This is, you know, and we're built for this and all that stuff. Fine, right? I'm on board. He had a very good press conference. It means absolutely nothing. We have seen it before, and I know this is cliche, and we can go through it. You know, Joe Judge won the press conference with the New York Giants on a level the likes of which the Giants have never seen. He was a disastrous head coach. He didn't have nearly the accomplishments that Aaron Glenn does. He didn't play the game. He wasn't even a defensive coordinator. He was a special teams guy for like 2 years. Like, Aaron Glenn is far more suited for this. Aaron Glenn deserves this shot a hell of a lot more than Joe Judge did, and I firmly believe he'll be a better head coach than Joe Judge. But they both won the press conference. Nick Sirianni's headed to the Super Bowl. The words couldn't come out of his mouth. Go back and watch Nick Sirianni's introductory press conference. He couldn't speak. He bungled every line. And he's going to his second Super Bowl in 2 weeks. It means absolutely nothing. I hate to tell you that, and I know we're all going to get excited about it. All gas, no brakes sounds like a pretty good line to me. It's laughable now, thinking about how it was plastered all over the building when we watched Hard Knocks, and to think of, you know, him going back to San Francisco to run the defense again and how much it failed here, and how he was fired week 5, and all gas, no brakes is something we're going to laugh at and try and forget as Jet fans. This means absolutely nothing. How well he did in this press conference means nothing. I thought Darren Muji, and thank God, me and Pat Boyle were just talking about this. Thank God it's Muji and not Moogie, because it would have been just to hear Loogie and Moogie. I can't take it. I've had enough. Let's be honest. Loogie, that's enough. You can't have another thing. So thankfully, we've got Darren Muji, who won the press conference as well. I mean, he did okay. He sounded all right. He didn't have some weird voice that we couldn't understand. He sounded just fine. This seems like a competent. He talked about meeting Glenn in his interview process when he was interviewing for the Denver head coach a few years ago. Like, they did as well as you could possibly do. But it means absolutely nothing. We're going to get to the difference between what happened here and what happened in Duval. And we'll see how much, as time plays out, the difference. We'll get to that later. But with Liam Cohen. But here's the thing I do want to focus on from what we heard and what I think is important. Because obviously, I also thought it was great how he nipped some questions in the bud. Like, he knew exactly the Aaron Rodgers question. I mean, anyone with a head on their shoulders understood it. But he didn't wait for the question. I love that. He understood exactly what was coming. He jumped the question. He answered the question. He's noncommittal to the situation. But what I love the most, and what I think is going to be the most important and why I'm questioning this whole thing on some different levels, is when he was asked about culture building. And obviously, with the New York Jets, so much of it is culture. I know we kind of laugh, I mock the culture of winning with the New York Giants, and us tankers don't really care too much about culture wins at the end of the season. But starting a new regime, and especially for this franchise, I do think culture building is enormous. And I think they have to bring a winning culture here and expect it to win. That famous clip of him during Hard Knocks when he was the Lions defensive coordinator a few years ago, talking about, you know, an expectation of winning, right? To wake up and believe you're going to win that day. And that goes along with the Jets, and that goes along with revenge for the 98 conference championship game, and it goes along with all that. I loved everything about it, and I particularly loved when asked about what's culture building, and he said all the, and he pretty much told you the same thing I'm telling you, that this means nothing. That all this rah-rah-rah speech and all this, you know, put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride, and, you know, we're the New York Jets, and we're built for this bleep, like, all that means nothing. Because when he was asked, how do you change the culture? He said, I could give all the rah-rah speeches I want. I can give all the rah-rah speeches I want. Culture building is about people. And I firmly believe that. I think he's 100% right. It's not just about him. It's about his staff. It's about that we talk about people. The most important person is the owner. And he talked a little bit about having some accountability with himself and looking in the mirror. And, you know, everybody praised him, you know. They talked about the owner. Oh, he wants to win. Desperately. You could talk to Woody for 5 seconds. He wants to win. Okay? But I think that person at the top of the heap here is part of the reason they've had trouble building culture. I don't think there's any question about it. So for me, I firmly believe Aaron Glenn, and I think he's 100% right when he tells you culture building is about bringing the right people. So now it's about his staff. And I look at the offensive coordinator. Right? Because now you're going to have the rookie GM. You've got the rookie head coach. He's already told you he's not calling the defense or the offense. He wants to be a game manager. He wants to focus on managing the game. I think that's probably the right way to go. But if you're going to bring in a defensive coordinator with some head coaching experience, that's fine. But it sounds like, and I know Nick Caley now, who was originally the name that you heard around the offensive coordinator, he just interviewed with the Bucks to replace Liam Cohen. He's going to get some other opportunities to go talk to other teams. Like, for me, if you're going to have a rookie head coach and you're going to have a rookie offensive coordinator and you're going to have a rookie GM, that's where you have to sell me on how that's the people who will now build the culture of the New York Jets. Because that's what it's about. It's not about rah-rah speeches. It's not about, I just won the press conference. And I'm sure there are Jet players right now. Or, you know, hopefully they're sleeping. Because as the great head coach Tom Coughlin used to say, nothing good happens after 2 a.m. except this show, of course. So hopefully they're awake listening or they're sleeping. But when they heard that press conference, I'm sure they got all pumped up. I'm sure they were texting each other. I'm sure they're pumped. He's a former Jet. He understands it. I did a podcast today. And the guy running the podcast told me he hopes it's good for Sauce Gardner, someone who's been a cornerback on this team through ups and downs. Like, I think there's probably a lot of players who are excited to welcome in a defensive coordinator for a team that's been winning, someone who's been here in this building, who's been a scout for this team, who's been a player for this team, who's gone through it with this team. And talks like that and get you pumped up and ready to run through a wall. I'm sure there's a lot of Jets right now pumped up, but it's about the culture and what they could do with this coaching staff, because it's not just him, it's about who's underneath him and who's the position coaches and who's the offensive coordinator and who's getting this thing going, because I trust him to do the two things, you know, that really plagued this team in many ways the last handful of years: hold players accountable and cut the nonsense, right? And mainly hold players accountable and build some kind of culture. Those two things, I think he can do that. But for me, and I know this all harkens back to it, and I have a hard time getting off of it. If we're going to answer questions about Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to say, when asked, what's a quarterback, and we'll play the clip a little bit later, hey, Aaron Glenn, what is an Aaron Glenn quarterback? And the answer is a winner, mentally strong, physically talented. Do you know who that describes? That describes Aaron Rodgers. And he also said that every decision with the team will be a football decision. Well, I'm sorry. Call me crazy. if you're going to have this super press conference that everybody deems a grand slam, home run, unbelievable winning press conference, and you're going to talk about culture building, and you're going to talk about winning now, and you're going to talk about everything is based on football, you're going to have a hard time telling me that I'm going to bring in a rookie GM and make him find my quarterback. I'm going to bring in a rookie offensive coordinator, and I'm going to make him work with some sort of lesser quarterback than I have in the room right now. And that's going to change this all in 1 year, because that's what he's selling. He's selling this changes now. And as excited as you may be in this moment, I promise you, if they win 5 games next year, that excitement goes out the window. And so for me, when I'm looking at a young offensive coordinator, who better to give than Aaron Rodgers, who can come in here, and that offensive coordinator's got to be assertive, and that offensive coordinator's got to make sure that he doesn't get walked all over by Aaron Rodgers. But if you're going to look to build some culture, and you're going to look to get, you know, this rookie offensive coordinator some experience, who better to pick his mind than Aaron Rodgers, one of the smartest football players that's ever come across the NFL? If it's about winning now, if it's about winning now and changing all of this, then you have to give this roster the best opportunity to win. And if it's about football decisions, tell me how Aaron Rodgers isn't the best football decision for this team. So moving forward, I look at this and I go, we've seen great press conferences. We've seen miserable press conferences. We've seen winning and losing out of both of them. Today was just a, or yesterday, was a day where he established himself as the coach. He checked a lot of the boxes you want to hear. I want this job. Check. I used to play for the team. Check. I'm as bitter and angry about my failures and this organization's failures as you are, and I want revenge. I'll be damned if the 1998 AFC Championship game happens again. Let's get there and find out. But like, he checked all the boxes for you. He said everything you could possibly want. He showed you the attitude you possibly wanted, and it's genuine and it's real, and I'm excited. And I'm excited. But when he talks about culture building, he doesn't tell you, well, I just gave a great speech. He doesn't tell you, well, I just talked about the AFC Championship game. He doesn't tell you, what I give you, seatbelt, and we're built like Jets and all that. It has nothing to do with changing this team. What's changing this team? Bringing in the right people. What's changing this team? Winning now. What's changing this team? Bringing in winning players and making football decisions. And everything there, to me, speaks to Aaron Rodgers still being the quarterback of this team. Coming in and winning right away. And especially if you're going to give a rookie general manager the task of finding a quarterback with a $40 million dead cap hit. And especially if you're going to give a rookie offensive coordinator the task of developing a young quarterback, and I don't know which one you're going to get drafting seventh. You're going to trade back in for Jackson Dart. You're going to get one of these other quarterbacks in the second round. Like, where are you going? Because it sounds like, who knows, but it sounds like in Pittsburgh they're keeping both of those quarterbacks. Where you're going to go bring in another veteran? Or at least go with one of those two quarterbacks in Pittsburgh, maybe one of those shake free. Aaron Glenn told you what this is really about, and it's not about catchphrases, and it's not about harkening back to 1998, and as much as I'd like it to be, it's not about Wayne Corbett and all that. Those are all positives, and those are all things that help today make today special. But if you want to change the Jets, it's about winning, and it's about bringing in the right people. And if you're going to bring in people who've never done it before, you can't tell me they're the right people right away. They have to develop into the right people. And helping that along is winning. And helping that along is giving an offensive coordinator a veteran quarterback who's going to the Hall of Fame, who's won a Super Bowl, and who understands the game as well as anyone who's ever played it. So he was non-committal with Aaron Rodgers. They're open to Aaron Rodgers. They're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. But if they're going to make a football decision and tell you as such, for me, it's a tough task to get off Aaron Rodgers, to sell him on all this, to talk about football decisions and then come back and go, well, yeah, no, we're going to make a football decision and get rid of the Hall of Famer and bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. So for me, great day for the Jets. Exciting press conference. He did a hell of a job. He got all of us ready to run through a wall, but he did mention the one thing I do agree with. It's about people. It's about people. Bring in the right coordinators. Keep the quarterback. 888-808-1009. Mick Bonegal here with you on the Fan. So we'll talk Jets to start. I saved off on all the Pete Alonso yesterday off the championship games on Monday to kind of focus on that. I'm going to get, obviously, into Pete. We'll talk about what happened on Amazing Day, the reaction from some of the fans towards the owner, towards the GM, what's going on in that situation, how much of a hindrance, or is all the blame on Scott Boras? Because I think there should be some for everybody involved, including Pete Alonso, and including...
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
David Stearns.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah! Is it 2:29 already? Man, oh man, time flies. 888-808-1019. I got some sleep. My wife insisted on wearing, not her wearing, me. She was like, you got to try the mask again. I tried wearing the mask to like keep it dark because I have, my bedroom has a bunch of windows, right? And I'm really not convinced that if I get the blackout shades, because we already have curtains and she, like, the idea of curtains are a no-go. She wants to buy shades if I'm going to get something to make the room darker. And like the windows are plentiful and long, and they don't make the shades long enough to cover the whole window, so I gotta separate them into two or three. That means there's lines in between. I just feel like it's not gonna work. So I finally was convinced to try and wear the mask, even though it's uncomfortable. Once I fell asleep, I actually slept pretty long today, so I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I got some rest. I woke up, did a podcast, and watched the Aaron Glenn press conference. And look, I'm not trying to knock Aaron Glenn. I think Aaron Glenn did a great job today or yesterday. I think that was as good an introductory press conference as you can have. I just don't think it means a damn thing. I don't care about people get hung. I don't care about post-game press conferences. I don't care about pre-game press conferences. I don't care about midweek press conferences. I care about the bottom line. That's it. I know it's cliche. I heard Evan mock it a little bit in the open as a reason why it doesn't matter. It's true to me. I'm a Giants fan. I will never care about a press conference at any real level. Like, look, you can go up there and embarrass yourself, as maybe Liam Cohen did out in Jacksonville. I don't think you can win. You could lose a press conference, I suppose, but I don't know if you could really win one to the level of, like, oh, man, he's going to be great, because I bought in hook, line, and sinker with Joe Judge. That press conference had me ready to run through a wall, as the cliche goes. And it was a disaster. Disaster. And quite honestly, I thought many people love it now looking back because he's a great head coach. I thought Dan Campbell embarrassed himself too. The whole biting the kneecaps on the way up, I thought it was ridiculous. Like, this is, Glenn was perfect today. Aggressive, you know, gave you the one, put your seatbelt on. We're the Jets. We're built for this crap. Like, that's good enough. I mean, he gave you the whole, then we're going to cut your toes off. Then we're going to come up and bite your kneecaps. Then we're going to, like, you know, like, it was just like, I thought Dan Campbell sounded like a moron. And that same year, Sirianni with Philadelphia could not speak. Literally. The sentences couldn't come out of his mouth. And he's going to his second Super Bowl. Now, they have a great roster, and I honestly don't know how great of a head coach he is, but he's going to his second Super Bowl. And he couldn't speak. So, I no longer care. I don't. I don't care about post-game press conferences. I don't care about introductory press conferences. Unless you make an absolute fool of yourself and lose it and lose all the respect or confidence of the fan the way Adam Gase did with his eyes and everything like that. Like, unless that happens, to me, it's all the same. It's almost like a bowl game. You came out healthy. It's spring training. It's preseason. You came out healthy. That's all that matters. Now you got to go out and prove it. And to me, the first question was what he tried to preemptively answer because he knew it would be the first question. And to me, it's the first question for a reason. Because when it comes to a football team, as you're seeing, it comes down to the quarterback. Plain and simple. And the Jets need to know who their quarterback is. And he was kind of noncommittal about Aaron Rodgers. But let me ask you a question, because I'm going to play the clip right now. Once I see Mike screening a phone call. Once he hangs up, we're going to play. Oh, that was quick. Must have had something good to say. So we're going to play this audio when Aaron Glenn, the new head coach of the New York Jets, is asked in his mind. First he's asked about Aaron Rodgers. Then he's asked specifically, what do you look for in an NFL quarterback? And I want you to listen to his answer. Here we go.
Will Aaron Rodgers be your quarterback?
You're going to continue to ask me the same question. I'm going to get the same answer. We're still in evaluation mode. So for anybody else going to ask that, I'm going to give you the same answer. So don't waste your time. Be clear.
Well, let's answer. What do you look for in a quarterback? Like, what's an Aaron Glenn quarterback?
A winner. Mental and physical toughness. When you talk about that process, you're not going to get me.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, Parcells, you know, I know.
All right, so, and you know, it's funny, too, because you think these coaches don't get it. They do, but, I mean, he tried to preemptively answer the question thinking maybe that would eliminate the questions. Obviously, it doesn't. They're going to see if you give any sort of inkling into your thinking. And to me, I think he did. Like, let me ask you. The Jets right now have Aaron Rodgers on the roster. All right? He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's won a ton of games. He's thrown 500 touchdown passes. He has won more divisions than the Jets have in their entire franchise history. And when asked what the quarterback of, like, what's an Aaron Glenn quarterback, a winner. Number one, a winner. You know how when you look at the back of a product and you look for all the ingredients, the number one thing is the most important one. It's the most prominent one, right? It's whatever it is, water or glucose or whatever it is. The product, the first thing there is the one they have the most of, soybean oil. For Aaron Glenn, when you look at the ingredients of a quarterback, number one, winner. Winner. Where in the NFL right now are you going to find a better winner than the quarterback who is already on your roster? He's here. If Aaron Rodgers was still the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers and there was rumors that he was available, that would be a different story. He's not out there as a free agent. He's not out there on some other team. He is on the team. In the room, he's been with these guys. Mentally tough. Say what you want about Aaron Rodgers. Say whatever you want. Say he talks a bunch of nonsense. He goes and says crazy things. He's hung up on vaccines. He's hung up on politics. He's hung up on, you know, everything you could possibly imagine. He's taken ayahuasca. It's, you know, he's out there and he has interesting viewpoints or different viewpoints and does interviews that ultimately cause a distraction. Well, he is mentally tough. He can go into all the dark rooms he wants. The dude is mentally tough. Those are the two most important things, and I would venture to say you can't find a better version of it in the NFL. This side of Patrick Mahomes, who's a better winner in the NFL right now? Who's a better winner in the entire NFL than the quarterback that's on their roster? It's just, and especially if you're going to bring in a young quarterback coach, like this is what you got to do. A young offensive coordinator? Are you going to bring in a rookie offensive coordinator? Somewhere there's got to be some experience. Somewhere. Rookie GM, rookie head coach, rookie coordinator, somewhere there's got to be experience. And again, if I'm looking to even, you know, I have this year or two plan. If I'm going to move forward with that offensive coordinator, wouldn't I want him to pick the brain of Aaron Rodgers and work with Aaron Rodgers? Now, he can't get walked all over by Aaron Rodgers, but again, I think Aaron Rodgers is in a completely different place with this organization than he was with Green Bay. I think he's looking to latch on to one last opportunity to play well and win. I don't think it's not the same as being the former MVP Super Bowl champion in that uniform who you felt you've done, the last time he played for them, you know, he was off one season away from back-to-back MVPs. He won a Super Bowl with them. Like, that's different. He built equity. He was the Green Bay Packers. He's nothing to the Jets. He's a one-time quarterback for a team that lost and had one of the more disappointing seasons in their history. As much as he's mentally tough and as much as he likes to speak his mind, I don't think he's looking to railroad any coordinator or give them problems. Otherwise, he won't choose to be here. He'll go play somewhere else. Someone will take a chance on Aaron Rodgers. He's Aaron Rodgers. If he's willing to play ball, I think he's willing to play ball. So to me, that's the first thing. Get all the coaching staff in here because it's the people that change the culture. And then figure out a way to get Aaron Rodgers back on this team. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Let's go to Jose in Waterbury. What's up, Jose?
Hey, how you doing? Pleasure hearing your voice again.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
I respect your opinion, although I don't always agree. I got to say I respect it. I appreciate your show. I won't take long. I just want to say, Aaron, I know you speak about Aaron Rodgers. You want him to stay. I don't agree, but I feel like you're basing your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers on what he used to be, right? And he's a good quarterback back then, and he's very mobile, and he used to buy time, and he could do things in the fourth quarter that most guys couldn't, but he's not that guy anymore. And that injury that year that he took off, he came back. He's not that guy anymore. Even though he has decent numbers, he's not the guy.
Well, I mean, you just said okay. Okay, so who's the guy, and how do they get?
No, I didn't say there were great players out there.
Well,
who's
better? I'm not telling you he's the guy. I never did. I say he's going to win an MVP with the Jets or lead them to the Super Bowl. I said that last year and the year before. Now I'm off that quite clearly. But he threw 28 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions, and threw for almost 4,000 yards. In the history of the Jets, you're talking about the second or third best season in their franchise's history. So tell me again, although he's not the great quarterback he once was, he's not the top four player at the position in NFL history anymore, he's still better than any single option they have by a mile. And even if they move on from him and bring in another option, it goes along with a $40 million plus cap hit. So, like, tell me the better solution, Jose.
Well, I think I agree with you. His history is good, but presently he's a cancer on that team.
Why is he a cancer on the team?
Well, he brings attention, negative attention. Then he's a hypocrite. He says, outside noise, we don't want it. He's the outside noise.
Agreed.
When things go wrong, he threw a guy under the bus. The wire was, oh, he's supposed to be here. That's not what a good quarterback is.
Isn't that holding people accountable? I thought we wanted to hold people accountable. I never understood this.
He's not held accountable, though.
Why isn't he held accountable?
Because he runs his mouth and he doesn't produce. And he made them bring all these guys
over. He produced better than almost any quarterback who's ever played the position for the Jets. He produced better than half the guys who produced better than him on the field this year.
When it counts. In the fourth quarter, I've watched it. I'm not a Jets fan, but I'm stuck with watching Jets games because I'm in the New York area.
Yeah.
But this guy in the fourth quarter, he's not what he used to be. He doesn't take games over in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but again, you're talking about what he used to be. I agree. He's not what he used to be. What he is still better than any option they have. That's the point. We can't live in reality. I can't go back and bring Tom Brady here. I can't look around the NFL and make the quarterbacks better than him available. I want to win now. If you disagree with that and it's time to rebuild, that's a better argument. But to say, like, oh, I'm basing decisions on the exact player he was last year. 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. That's the player I'm basing it on right now. The defense fell apart. The team fell apart when they fired the coach. You're right. He didn't lead. He had five or six opportunities with the ball in his hand in the fourth quarter. And I believe he tied two of the five games, but they didn't win any of them. Okay. All right. Where are they going to get better? That's the question. It's not, they're not getting the Aaron Rodgers of old. I know exactly what they're getting. And what they're getting from Aaron Rodgers is still better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston. Like, where are they going? Kirk Cousins? All of those guys would come with the cap hit of Aaron Rodgers, $40-plus million, assuming Aaron Rodgers wants to continue to play football. It's not about getting the Hall of Fame quarterback. It's about getting the best quarterback available. And one who, and I don't buy this cancer thing for a second. I truly don't. I really don't. They didn't win with him. And yes, he speaks his mind to Pat McAfee and does other things. Sure. Granted. And yes, you nailed it. And I said that. Hypocritical to lecture the franchise on only doing things that impact winning, and then run your mouth about Jimmy Kimmel on a Epstein list, or talk about, and I know he didn't quite say that, but you know what I mean. That's the stir it caused, and talking about masks and vaccines and COVID. Like, yes, 100%. That's hypocritical to lecture a franchise and then run your mouth on all that stuff without question. But in the clubhouse, and you want to talk about hypocritical, here's another hypocritical thing. I want the players to be held accountable. How dare Aaron Rodgers hold that wide receiver accountable? Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. You can't say the players need to be held accountable, and when the leader of the franchise, the quarterback, holds them accountable, you say, oh, look, and he's passing the buck. Well, it's one or the other. He's talked about holding players accountable when they had problems at the line of scrimmage and all the pre-snap penalties. Robert Saleh talked about, well, maybe we need to make adjustments on our cadence. And Aaron Rodgers said, no, we don't. This cadence has worked fine for me for years. I've won a ton of games doing this cadence. What we need to do is hold players accountable who don't pay attention, and hold players accountable who can't get with the program, and hold players accountable for jumping off sides or false starts. That's what we need to do. Which one do you agree with? Change a working fundamental program because players can't cope, or get on the players and make sure they cope? I tell you which one I think Aaron Glenn would be behind. And I listened to Connor Hughes. Fleegelman, you remind me because you and I talked about it. It was either with Joe Beningo or it was with the Midday Show. It was with JJ. Okay. It was with JJ. And he told the story about how, you know, Aaron Rodgers tried to bring some accountability into the clubhouse. That he was the guy who was talking about, this is unacceptable. He's the guy looking to hold players accountable. He's the guy looking to make sure that the same mistakes don't happen more than once. And it was met with unhappiness. It was met with frustration. It was met by the rest of the team with a turned cheek and a deaf ear. Because the coach wasn't holding them accountable. And they didn't want to hear the quarterback. I think it's more of a culture problem inside the locker room than it is Aaron Rodgers inside the locker room. I firmly believe that. Aaron Rodgers is trying to hold players accountable. He wants to win. He wants to win. And even in some of his faults, it's about winning and playing well and putting up points, because what was the issue at the end of the season? Garrett Wilson's unhappy. Garrett Wilson is unhappy. He's unhappy with his 100 receptions in the most successful year he's had of his career. But he's unhappy because Davante Adams is getting all the targets late in games down the stretch of the season. And I couldn't agree more. He was. Clear as day, he was. But do you know why, in my opinion? Because Aaron Rodgers wants to win and score points. And, you know, maybe save his career. There's some selfish elements to it. But he wanted to have a good year. He wanted to put up some decent numbers. He wanted to feel like he was a good a football player still, who maybe would be wanted by the Jets or maybe wanted by another team in the NFL. And he wanted to put up points for the New York Jets. And as much as I'm not saying that Garrett Wilson's incapable of that, he leaned on a guy he knew down the stretch of the year. Down the end of the season, when the team was failing and the offense couldn't get going, he leaned on a guy he had chemistry with. 100% he did it. And ultimately, I don't think that's forever. I think at the end of a season where they were struggling offensively and he was desperate to score some points and get the team going a little bit and show people he could still play, he leaned on a player he knew and leaned on a Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver that he helped make a Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver. And he leaned on him and went away from other players because he wanted to go where he knew he could go. And he wanted to know that the wide receiver would know and they would be on the same mind meld and that they would be able to make plays. And he did that down the stretch of the year to make sure that he got the points or the touchdowns or the whatever that he wanted to get. That doesn't mean starting the year next year, there can be a different dynamic. That when they're winning and now they've had a season playing with each other and things become more comfortable, that he won't lean on Garrett Wilson moving forward. He did what he did to have to win. He did what he did to score points. He did what he did to turn his season around. That doesn't happen necessarily come September. It's not the same thing. You could still have a functioning offense with Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, and Garrett Wilson and make everyone happy. And again, along with Breece Hall, along with hopefully a new fixed offensive line where you've found through the season Fashanu can be your left tackle, that's an offense that can work. You bring in a good offensive coordinator. Even if it's a rookie offensive coordinator, you bring in someone with a little bit of a different mindset, have Aaron Rodgers see it a little bit differently. I heard Boomer a couple times say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I understand that. I'm not, obviously, you're going to have to work with them on terminology and different things and find some sort of melding between what the offensive coordinator wants and what works best with your Hall of Fame quarterback. I get it. It's not completely installing a system and giving it to a rookie quarterback until he gets it. There's going to be a working relationship if you bring back Aaron Rodgers. He's going to have his say on how it goes, but that would be with any veteran quarterback. Like, again, the options. You bring in Kirk Cousins, you can't teach that old dog new tricks. You bring in Jameis Winston, can't teach him new tricks. Like, all of it is predicated on if you're going to bring in another veteran quarterback to try and win with this team, melding the offensive coordinator with the new quarterback. Like, that's part of it. So I understand what you're saying, Jose, but no. I do not think that I am talking about Aaron Rodgers of a handful of years ago when he was winning MVPs. I'm talking about this Aaron Rodgers who threw for 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns. Zach Wilson threw for 8. I'm still talking about the guy we saw last year. That guy is still the best option for the New York Jets. Chris in Great Neck. What's up, Chris?
Well, hi, C-Mac. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning to you, sir. What's going on?
You know, to change the subject a little bit, well, you mentioned earlier about getting enough sleep at night. I have a suggestion. For somebody who's worked midnights for years, and it's always a constant battle,
yes,
in getting enough sleep, what I did in my bedroom was I tinted my windows. And it made such a difference in keeping the bedroom dark.
You tinted the windows.
Right.
Like
you would tint your car.
Okay.
The same people.
Okay.
They'd come in and they would tint the windows however dark or light you wanted. And I tell you, it made a world of difference in trying to get some sleep.
Hmm. Interesting. Yep. I don't know if I could sell my wife on tinted windows. I'd have to see, but maybe. I'm trying to find it. That's the, you know, there's the blackout blinds and blackout shades and stuff like that. So it's been a long time. I should have already had this done, but I got into a good. You know what's really thrown me off lately is you can't ever. One, I live a normal life on the weekend, right? I don't sleep these hours 7 days a week. I sleep them 5 days a week, and then on the weekend, like I wake up because I coach my son's teams. I want to be with my kids. I can't just sleep all day on a Saturday or Sunday.
So it's
awkward that I'm not constantly in the same pattern, but I was getting into a better pattern leading up until the holidays, and then I had time off, then I was working a lot of afternoon drive, me and Keith did like 4 or 5 days, I was in a normal, much more normal sleep pattern for 2 straight weeks, and that since then, since like the first week, since the second week of January here, the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've been as bad as I've ever been because like I got into a somewhat normal everyday sleeping pattern for like 2 weeks straight during the holidays. So now I'm trying to readjust. It's a constant battle. You are correct. It is a constant battle. But I'm not complaining. I just threw it out there to tell a story. I'll be all right.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good day. Have a good night.
You do, but thank you. Tinted windows. I don't know. Tint the windows, get a nice system up in there.
I've heard a lot of suggestions over the years. Yeah. Sal used to ask for them. People have had the conversations with me. I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
Never heard tinted windows.
No, never heard tinted windows. Yeah, I've never heard that. The only thing with me, again, like I have a lot of I have two windows just in the bedroom. One of them is very big where I won't be able to find blinds long enough to just have one blind. So I'd have to break it to at least two, maybe even three. And that just comes with natural separation in between the blinds. And so that scares me that it won't work. And then I have like an offset room that's like sort of my office, like right off the bedroom. And that has like a glass French door leading into my bedroom and big windows in that room. So it just feels like there is sun coming from every which angle into my bedroom. And I just don't know if it's worth getting all these blinds to ultimately just make it slightly darker. Like, to me, if I could know I could make it a way where it would be like it's night in there, that would be great. But, like, just to make it slightly darker doesn't really feel like it's worth it to me. But we'll see. I was arguing with my wife about this all week. But, because she's tired of, and I don't complain, but she asked me, how'd you sleep? Not great. And then she gets mad. I'm like, well, what would you like me to do? And it's not like I could sleep, like, theoretically, what would be really great is if I could sleep from, in my mind at least, especially in the winter when it gets dark so quickly, if I could sleep up until it's time to come here. Like, if I could sleep from, I don't know, 3 to midnight, so, you know, take my kids in the morning, do something all day, greet my kids off the bus at school, help them with homework, and then kind of go to sleep and wake up at 11:30 midnight before it's time to come in here. That'd be great, but I gotta watch games. The Knick game's on. I can't sleep through the Knick game. I mean, it happens. I'll be totally honest with you. Every once in a while, I'll just wake up. Oh, man, it's the fourth quarter. It happened. But I can't intentionally be in bed. Baseball season, I can't just sleep through Yankees and Met games. So I have to wake up before, at the very earliest, 7 p.m. It's just part of the grind, but I love it. Love doing the show, and again, the sleeping was better leading in. Like I was in a groove for a while where I was doing much better, but those 2 weeks around the holidays threw me off for a loop. And it's also just Friday and Saturday, you know, Saturday, Sunday. I have a normal sleep schedule because I got to wake up and be with the kids and do things. I'm coaching. I'm doing things. I can't just sleep all day and be up all night on a Friday and Saturday night doesn't work. So it's just inherently tough because I don't have the same sleeping pattern 7 days a week like most of you do. Actually, that's not fair because if you're up at 2:55, maybe you don't. We're all in this together. You forget about it that it's a family. It's a fair. Even the annoying cousin Brett. It's all part of the family. Mike's part of the family. Mike and Merrick. What's up, Mike?
Yo.
Yo. How about them Rangers?
I can't watch the Rangers because the stupid MSG.
Oh, no.
On Cablevision.
Oh, you have Cablevision? You have Optimum?
Yes.
Oh, you got to find a way. Get the Gotham app. Do something. You got to figure it out. You got to watch your Rangers, Mike.
But I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Very important question.
Yeah.
You and all those things, all those crazy Ranger fans, how could you take MSG off the air?
I agree. I haven't really talked about it too much. It's getting, you know, it's ridiculous.
You know why?
Yeah.
I could tell you the reason why. They're doing it now because the Rangers are still playing. They should have waited when the Rangers are done. Just leave it alone. As to be.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, Mike, and I mean, it's the Knicks, too. It's not just the Rangers. It's also the Islanders and the Devils. I mean, anyone who plays on MSG right now, you can't see if you have Optimum. I am one of those customers. I did get the Gotham app. It stinks. It stinks. I haven't talked about it much. We've seen this before with MSG. We've seen it before with other channels. I remember when I was doing Carton and Roberts. I don't even know if they fixed it. I don't even know if they still have an issue on Spectrum. I believe that's the provider that that Craig had. I don't even know if they fixed it there.
You know, it's funny. I had Xfinity when I lived in a different apartment.
Yeah.
It was off the air for, I think, almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And I moved into my house over a year ago. I don't know if they ever resolved that with Xfinity.
Xfinity, maybe that's what it was. Yeah. I don't know. I'm really concerned that this could be a long-term thing for Optimum. And I got to be totally honest with you. As you know, the sports fan and necessity that I've been hesitant to cut the cable a lot because of MSG. There's only one streaming service, and it's the DirecTV streaming service that carries MSG, carries Yes, carries all the things I want, carries the, you know, then I would need to, I want to get the NFL, you know, Optimum provides a package that gives me Red Zone, thank you. The Red Zone and all that. Like, so I've been hesitant to cut cable because I needed MSG, I need NFL Network, and I need the Red Zone, and I need certain things. And so a large part because of MSG, because it's on very few. But now if Optimum's not going to have MSG, I mean, and this isn't to put pressure on MSG or Optimum, I'm just being honest, I might cut the cord. I don't watch any TV. Everything I watch is on one of the streaming services other than sports. Like, me and my wife watch TV shows. I can't tell you the last time, like, she's watched that new one where, what's his name from Dawson Creek, is like a doctor on a cruise ship line. So she's watched a little bit of that. I was interested in Watson because I'm a big Sherlock Holmes guy.
Even that, everything on broadcast TV is on streaming Hulu. Service the next day.
Yeah, it's on Hulu the next day or whatever. So it's just like, I don't even, MSG was a huge part of why I'm still keeping cable. So, Optimum. I don't know if you're right or wrong. I'll be totally honest with you, but I'm just telling you, you might lose a customer if you don't pick MSG up because I don't have any more reason to stay with you. And we've had a long relationship. I live back in Long Island. I had Cablevision and Optimum. I've been with Optimum for forever.